This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. We are going to explore today with one of my favorite exploring partners. Her name is Ida Fields. Welcome, Ida.
Thank you so much for having me. You are one of my favorite partners to explore as well.
I feel so safe with you, and I love how we can have great big conversations and go all over and back again. But today, the conversation is really personal because it's about you as a mom, and it's about your children and how they will make their way in the world. Just give everybody a brief overview of your family dynamic at this moment.
Sure. So I have two children. I have a 12-year-old and a 10-year-old. My 12-year-old is in the Center for Discovery. So it's a residential school for those that have the highest level of like disability. He has autism, lots of other diagnoses. My younger son is also neuroatypical, has dyslexia, ADD. He is at an amazing school called Windward, which is in Westchester. Both of them, the light of my life.
And your honey?
And my honey is here. We live in Cortland Manor. We both work from home, but have, you know, amazing, we've built an amazing life, but we've learned everything we know from our children.
Really? You wrote a wonderful piece. Is this piece that you sent me, is it going to be published anywhere? The piece?
Yes, and it absolutely will. And it really is the precursor of a book that I feel very called to write.
Okay. Now, what you wrote about, it was called The AI Quantum Shift, The Rise of Awakened Intelligence. And you start off by telling everyone how you felt when you dropped Nathan off at this new place where he was going to live. There was such a road that took you there to realize your child couldn't live in your home because of his constellation of the different way he sees the world. So what was it like when you drove up to the place and finally, you know, let him walk through those doors?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to describe it. Like he has a different constellation, like a different way that he is wired. You know, look, the decision to put your child in a residential placement is a very, you know, heavy one, but it's one that I have known for years that he's incredibly social. He is beats at his own drum and he's very different. And so in reaching this point where we were able to find the Center for Discovery, we first went in through the hospital and we were told that it would be impossible for him to then go over to the other side. And I believed and I said, I know that we'll get there. And it was only, this is only 2 weeks ago, Casey, that
I just want to be clear on this. You went back to the hospital. What do you mean about the other side? That's the school.
So the hospital, it was brand new. He was there day one. It was open December 2024. He was there the very first day. And this is a very big mission of theirs to fill a gap where you have, in our 10 years of having a child that, you know, had diagnosis after diagnosis, doctor after doctor, just completely perplexed, right? Where it landed us was there was no hospital. There was nothing that existed that was long-term and comprehensive enough to really look at him, you know, the whole picture and to look at all the different factors. And that's what this hospital, the Children's Specialty Hospital in Rock Hill, it was a partnership between the state and the Center for Discovery. And it was the very first of its kind. There is not another hospital that exists like it in the country. And so in our plight to find Nathan the best possible placement, knowing that he could not be handled in his school, it was, you know, we were in crisis. And of course, the universe, as we always talk about, always gives. And I knew in the back of my mind that the center of discovery was where he would end up, but there was no spot. This is something that there is a year's waiting list. There's that, like, everyone wants to be there. And so when we finally got to the point over the summer of 2024 where the school agreed that it was too much for them to handle and that they would approve an out-of-district placement, I immediately was like, put Center for Discovery on the list, knowing they were way too far, knowing there wouldn't be a spot, but then got the call, no, we don't have a spot, but you may be interested in this new hospital that doesn't even exist yet that we're opening the doors of in 3 months. He was there for a year, Casey.
In the hospital
for a year. And we received the diagnosis over that year that answered every question we had. So we had, 15 diagnoses over the 10 years, everything from autism to speech apraxia to hypotonia to ADD to sensory processing to visual. I mean, the list goes on and on of all the different diagnoses and medicines. And throughout this 10 years, especially the last few, everything just regressed, every medicine, every diagnosis. It didn't make sense. The doctors would say to us, Nathan will help us do our research. So he was the perfect candidate for this new hospital with their mission is to figure out the difficult, complex cases that don't fit any box. And so when they called, I knew it was the universe. It was just saying to me, okay. And of course I was like, absolutely. And it just became my mission to get him into that hospital. Look, and to be honest, his year in that hospital was, they were on a learning curve as we were on a learning curve. And I knew that. And I have a lot of respect for their mission and what they're doing. But what it gave us is it gave us this diagnosis over this past summer of 2025 of something called Phelan-McDermid syndrome. And that is a genetic, a degenerative mutation where he's missing something called a SHANK3, which is basically what your cells use to communicate with each other. And so it affects everything. So all the diagnosis now, it was literally like a blueprint. When I looked at the list of every possible thing, low muscle tone, language regression, and 2% of people with autism have this Phelan-McDermid syndrome, but it's extremely rare. There's only 65 cases in all of New York State, Casey. So it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And fast forward a year later,
yes.
Right now we've reached the end of the hospital stay. There's no more. And so there was a lot of advocacy and a lot of universal synchronicity that brought us to actually get him a spot in the pediatric program at the Center for Discovery. Mm-hmm. So not the hospital, but the school. It's a different campus, but it is where they've had 40 years of experience working with, valuing, and they're so innovative and ahead of their time. Their tagline is "What happens here matters everywhere."
Right.
And so walking in 2 weeks ago, this thing that for 3 years I've been manifesting and thinking and saying, okay, we're going to get there. And then seeing the relief, his shoulders drop, his energy just shift. I'd never walked in, but walking in, I knew. And this is only 2 weeks ago. And he has not had one bathroom accident in the 2 weeks that he has been there, which has never happened. The entire,
okay. Yeah. There's so many things I want to talk about.
I know.
I can't believe this children's
breakdown. Help me out.
This children's specialty hospital for kids with autism and beyond is amazing. It's like, course, we should have hundreds of these, right?
Yes.
We should have hundreds of these. Oh,
and
my
that's
God.
What their mission is. And their vision is for this to become a new paradigm of care, right, for complex disabled children.
So you saw your son relax as he walked into this space. Can you explain that?
It's hard to, I think one of my big sort of truths is that we want to explain everything. And when we use words for it, and I've watched him lose his words over the years, right? That's heartbreaking as a mom, right? To been able to have had a conversation. And so I've learned how to communicate with him energetically, right? And understanding just how, just in his movements, you know, he's laughing, he's connecting, he is just in flow. I don't know how else to describe it, but seeing him connect in such a deep way with everyone that was in the room, seeing that he has, it's filled with love and care, and you can just feel it in his body language and in his mannerisms.
Do you think that he knew or sensed that the people in this space were looking to connect with him on his own level?
I think what he accepted, what he received was the frequency of love and acceptance. You know, he has been in a world, right, that sees him as flawed, sees him as a deficit, sees him, he tests in the less than 1%, you know, on any intelligence test. And so he has been his whole life, you know, needing to be fixed.
Right.
And so when he walked in, he felt the vibration, the energetic, the acceptance of that he is whole and he belongs and he is valued. And that is what he received from, you know, every person there that understand that on a very cellular, deep level.
Now, you have come on this very long journey. Nathan is 12?
12.
12. He's 12. So you've been on this journey since the beginning. For 12 long years, you have come to look at this in a completely opposite way than most people on the planet look at this autism world.
Yes.
You say, feel, believe that your Nathan isn't behind. He's actually ahead. So when we start to talk about frequency and communication and how you communicate with your son energetically, tell everybody what that means.
So he absolutely is ahead. And, you know, when you look at the rise in autism and neurodiversity, I think there's been something like an 175% increase in autism diagnosis over the last decade. And it's not just autism. It's a lot of different neurodiverse where there's a body dysregulation, right? That's what Nathan has, his body and his call it his brain, right? They don't sync the way that yours or I do. But what I do believe is that he's coming in with a whole soul and a broken body, whereas the rest of us have like broken bodies, meaning a broken soul and a whole body, meaning that he is coming from a much higher resonance. And I have come to that through a lot of experiences over the years of that are beyond words, really. And, you know, but well, what I will add to it is we also have this whole movement of RPM, rapid movement, rapid prompt method, and spellers, which are new ways that we're actually able to communicate with nonverbal or unreliable autistic. And it's a movement. It's starting to be accepted. There is also layers to it in terms of what's starting to come out. These beautiful, just the message is love. The message is just a much higher vibration. And so I have felt that from Nathan from day one.
Right.
From day one. And it's only been confirmed and validated, you know, over the years as I've learned and had, you know, really transformative experiences with him.
So he is just pure love on a loving frequency and wants to connect and wants to be loved and enjoy life.
Like the best way I can explain in terms of what you see is if you bring Nathan into a room of people, he will immediately be drawn to the person with the most pain. And it could be the most miserable person in the room because he doesn't have an ego. Like his ego, he's beyond ego. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't respond to social cues or perform. Like he is beyond all of that. And he will go and he will connect. My friend just said to me yesterday, she's, you know, I shared this with a few people, this writing. And she said, you know, she only met Nathan a few times. And she's going through a very painful IVF journey. And she said that the time she met Nathan was just a few years ago. He came over and kind of pulled her hair. you know, a little bit, and, you know, was playful. There's no one I know that laughs more than Nathan. He will make you laugh and he will connect. And so when he did that and he was sort of playful, she said there was one moment where he just looked so deeply, like threw me into my eyes, and I felt so seen. And it was on such a deep level. And now that I've read this, it's like I understand that he was really sensing the pain. Yeah. And the struggle beyond the smile on my face. And, you know, and that's happened over and over again. I remember we used to visit my mother-in-law that since passed in a nursing home. And, you know, it would be surrounded by very sort of sick sort of people. And he would just go to wheelchair and just connect and laugh and light. And this is something that you would see, you know, over and over again. But he would also sense the energy. And I would say the biggest thing, I was often the person with the most pain in the room. And so when I would be, and you know, we talk about spiritual practices. And so when I would be my most spiritually fit, right, I've just meditated, I sort of have very much am in alignment, I would come and Nathan would just be calmer.
Yeah.
You know, I would come home and he would, you know, and it would be like we'd be able to just sit together and be still. But most of the time that wasn't the case. And he was reflecting my energy, my depression, my anxiety, the house of needing to fix him. And so in seeing that calibration that happens every time, right?
Yeah.
And also seeing how much he struggles, because he's not that he's actually picking up every piece of energy in the room.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for him to process that into like a dense physical body. I hope that makes sense. I know it's hard to explain. I feel like words sort of sometimes you lose a lot of the meaning.
No, I think what you have to offer is going to help so many parents and grandparents and even siblings when we can find their superpower, right? This is the superpower that he can love so deeply and that he can feel really complex things that most adult humans try to ignore or push to the side so we can have a typical communication or interaction socially, right? Like, let's make this look like a nice afternoon, whatever. He can just come in and hit the target in terms of who needs love and reach them deeply. This is a superpower. And I know other moms and dads who hear this are probably shaking their head like right now. Like, yes, I've seen this in my child too. But we don't have all that much time left, so you're going to have to come back another time. But we do have a few minutes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about, there's so many of these children now. There's so many of these children. Like you said, that hospital, you know, filled right up, the Children's Specialty Hospital and Center for Discovery, places like that. It's hard to get a spot there. There are so many of these children now. How can we, I know the people in these hospitals and places are helping the children live their best lives, but I almost feel like what comes next, right? Should they live their whole life in this way?
I mean, I believe that these children, these neuroatypical children, are here to raise our vibration, our consciousness. And I'm not the only one that believes this. If you listen to like the telepathy tapes, if you look at quantum physics, there is so much about, we know everything is energy, and, you know, and just be open to the possibility that these children may just have a different frequency. We know that we have brain waves, so they are just picking up, they have a receptor, right, in a different way. And the science is starting to catch up, right, to it.
Yeah.
And so I think the thing, you know, the piece of advice is, one, to trust your inner antenna, your intuition, right? I always sort of knew as a mom, like what feels right, what doesn't feel right. And to also know that there are more ways to communicate beyond words, and that the body dysregulation and the different way of, you know, not a linear thinking, sort of more of a just, again, just picking up energy and being able to respond to it, that it's very real.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, just to just, there's so much out there on it already that it's just a matter of like, don't poo-poo what feels like a little woo-woo and you just discount it.
Right. Telepathy tapes. Tell me about that.
I mean, telepathy tapes just blew my mind. You know, from the first episode that I heard it, it was very much there is Nathan's vibration, theirs. And what's happening from the telepathy tapes is there's starting to be a growing body of evidence that autistic individuals can read minds. And I don't mean, read minds sounds like out there, but it's really that they have a different way of interpreting energy. And look, Nathan has had epilepsy or what they call, seizure. But he hasn't had a visible seizure. When he goes under and they put all those strobes on his head, what they say to me is, it's interesting because 50% of the night he's showing seizure activity, like electroactivity. And I'm like, yeah, because his brain is wired differently. And that is like showing that he's picking up things that we don't get, the subtle energies. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's common. That's why seizures are so common among the autism. And again, in my opinion, it's just a different way of the brain picking up information through frequency, through movement, through this unseen force that we know governs the universe. They're just more tapped into it.
They're more tapped into it. Yeah. Wow. And yet they can't communicate in words back to us. So we need to read their energy and keep.
Well, what's starting to happen, Casey, is now they are figuring out how to dumb themselves down to communicate in words through the spellers movement.
Or spellers.
RPM. It's basically letter boards that autistic individuals use. And there's a certain method where they learn how to control their body enough to use spelling and whatever that is, the pattern recognition of the movement of their, able to sort of prompt. And there's some controversy around that because they're like, well, is someone sort of planting the seed or, and what's starting to happen is they're being able to do it independently. And there is an
what does it look like?
It looks like a little letter board. And they will just tap, and some of them can be transformed digitally. And it's basically they're spelling at speeds, just like you or I would. But for some reason, the idea of the letters and the spelling and the words are able to connect with their motor planning in a way that is more reliable, right? So they're able to get the words out. And so there's this, mouth-to-hand organization in Mount Kisco that does it, this speller. And I have watched my nanny's son, Aaron, who was nonverbal, start to communicate and write blogs. And his whole world has been opened up in just a few months that he's been part of this, mouth to hand.
Well, God bless the intelligent scientists and caring, loving people who are out there finding ways to help these children express themselves, right?
And I think that the message, what's interesting is if you look at what they're saying, so first you have, now we know how to communicate with them in our way, right? They've been able to figure out how to use words. Now the big awakening is going to come when we start to listen to what they have to say.
Right.
Because what they're saying is a frequency of love and humanity and autism as altruism. And so they're, consumerism and materialism, none of that matters to them. And so there's this love frequency and this messaging and this raising of consciousness, I believe that they're at the forefront of, that is the message that we haven't been able to hear until now. And I believe there's going to be a tipping point very soon where this is recognized scientifically and it's credible. And it will be sort of one of those moments where the world was flat until it was round and there is a complete paradigm shift and they're leading the way. They are showing us the way of awakened intelligence.
Autism as altruism. Ida, this has been such a great foundation for more conversations to come.
Yes, would love.
And you're such a brave and beautiful mom, and I thank you for your time today. And parents who might be looking for more information about everything you talked about, where can they go?
I mean, look, I would start with just listening to the telepathy tapes. It's a podcast. There is episode 6 goes into the science behind it. So that's, a great one to start with. I would start there, but there's also a tremendous, number of Dr. Joe DiPenza and Derek Rydell and Caroline Miss. There's so many sort of spiritual where you kind of get the frequency of energy. And eventually, it's not coincidence. It's coherence.